Welcome to Notcast, episode 184, Hiding Your Power Level.
Oh.
I'm Saffron.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Fujimaru Husky.
And I'm Shiva. We have a guest.
A guest?
So
our
long
favorite
time
corpse man.
So this is our first time guest.
Yes. Welcome to the show. We're recording a little late, recording on Thursday, so we have like a sort of a time limit.
Which kind of means that we're recording super early, since we normally record on Friday.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the color of your microphone? You have the horrifically realistic dog hawk red, and I can't talk. So
because I do have the
horror. Because you're asking. Just for you.
I feel special. I feel welcomed. I'm feeling the love in this room.
Well, you're up here on leave, and now you get to hang out with us and give a shout out to all your bros back on the base.
All your fellow corpse men.
So, all those zombies out there, hello, and a special hello to my senior chief bigwig.
So, he'll get to point and laugh at you.
Yes.
All right.
As we read stories of embarrassment from people's power levels coming out in public. So, to sort of skip the banner this week, because we have a lot of emails, the idea about hiding your power level, Fuzz iterated in last week's episode, it's adhering to a sense of appropriateness in your expression of
nerd,
of being in a fandom. It's specifically relating to furry in this case, because, you know, people wear their anime shirts on the street. It's perfectly acceptable. You know, people can wear their pony shirts on the street if they're not like completely out there and people won't give them too much guff.
I like horse cocks with like a picture of Fuda Shy.
Let's not. No.
So that's not appropriate.
What's really bad though is that artist that does that did a little infographic. It's like gay marriage legal in 6 states. Getting fucked by a horse legal in 23. What the fuck?
Sadly true.
Well, yeah. For a while, our class T-shirts that we wanted. Had a picture of Derpy Hooves. One dude drew Derpy Hooves with a syringe saying, "Trust me, I'm a doctor."
Nice. But yeah, this is... It's one of those topics that's also like personal comfort level. We got a ton of responses this week. Mm-hmm. So we'll skip my really badly phrased pontification and move on to the
email. Well, that was going to say... When you look at the internet definition, it's even more than just don't be a derp in public. It's sort of a self-preservation, like a topic comes up. So, say someone mentions Doctor Who at work, and I don't want to appear like a massive nerd. So I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know that much about it. I just watched it a few times when I was a kid, you know, kind of downplay my involvement instead of being totally like, oh my god, that's from this episode in 1977, you know? This completely go basement-dwelling geek on it, you know, you kind of downplay it.
You want to appear normal-ish.
Ish.
For lack of a better term.
We can only fake normality so much.
Yeah, I sure, man, I tell you what, I love that when the sports team local college totally made that many balls against their opposing team. I sure love me some sports.
Oh, man. When they get the puck over the finish line, and they make that Olympic, whatever the name of that crazy Canadian...
Curling,
yeah. I know I said shuttlecock, which is even funnier.
The first time I saw that, it's like, what the fuck are they doing? It involves a rock and brooms on ice. It's like, what the hell is that? And Dad's like, that's called curling. What are they doing? It's kind of like bowling with a boulder and brushes. It's like,
so Husky should be good at curling.
Oh. Just our Olympic sport.
Oh, somebody should commission that. Dog. The Olympic curling team, and it's all Huskies. It's like, listeners, draw that. Chop, chop.
So, yeah, we got a lot of emails.
So we should probably just get right to it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, who y'all getting right to it?
Who wants to delve in?
I'll start us out just going from the top.
Balls deep. Okay.
This one is actually not topical, but okay. What can we do? I'm feeling pretty shitty, and it's all my fault. Not cast crew. Not even a week has gone by since I've achieved control over a modicum of my life. Everything just happens to be falling apart again. I have not proved my family that I am a better person for standing up for what I believe is good because I've been setting the worst example. I have been keeping an eye on my career, it's true, but I've been lazy about my responsibilities in the house, been doing many of the same things I used to do, like watching TV all day instead of doing the laundry because we can't take it to the laundromat because my family had to take out an advance on their paycheck to pay the phone bill, which is my responsibility because it is in my name and I'm supposed to be paying for it with the money I am making being a CNA, and I haven't even started that job yet. That was a very long sentence. Also, they feel that they are the only people that care about me because most of my friends left me on the back burner yesterday, and the only reason why I had one person to hang out with last night was because of the coincidence, but it turned out to be fun anyway. What? There's no context for this.
I think that's the 4th of July.
Well, yes, but still. With the rain from last night, I was convinced that I should have stayed home and watched the New York fireworks. Today, I proved to myself that I can't be like other furs. I can't live a normal and successful life and have furry on the side because I have made it an integral part of me. I am told that others don't care about me because of the way I act. I'm still convinced that I have friends who really don't care because my family happens to be right about 99% about me. My over-involvement in the fandom this past week has nearly ruined me and may have a negative impact on my job if I had let it get too far. Even the furs that go to cons can keep it together better than I can. It may come down to me leaving the fandom because of my instability, but I don't want that to happen in 1,000 years. What can I do to get my shit back in gear and do what I was originally setting out to do? I desperately want to be a successful furry role model that keeps the image of the fandom in good condition. Your favorite dramatic wall of text wolf, Raven. The P.S. This message was edited for inappropriate, insulting, and drama wolf content that would have probably pissed you guys off. Well, mostly Fuzz, but also Saverin and Shiva, too.
I think you edited it too much because it's, you know...
Yeah, we're getting a lot of, like, wow, shit's going bad, but there's no context to it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think you need to give us a little bit more in the way of details, and it's kind of like trying to find, if you're too much into furry, it's kind of like any hobby. You really need to rein it in and know when to set it aside and be able to do things at appropriate times. Yeah. You know, you can overindulge in anything, whether it's this fandom or crack. I've seen it in anything from like video games to Sonic fandom.
To ponies. I think Saverin has a problem.
I was trying to avoid that so he didn't like hit me, but he
I'm making money over here. Well, I don't know about y'all.
So it's kind of like learning to say, it's like, okay, it's time to step away and do other things for a while, whatever the reasons are. Time and a place for everything. And
yeah. And I think can you mute that, Saverin?
Sorry. I just got a text from Guardian saying, by the way, I'm on the way over. Because I forgot to tell him we're recording tonight and we're not going to do our normally DDR.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Saverin's just a bad person. We'll ignore him. I've
been really forgetful today.
You know, oh, and then we'll have to have sad lion music as he goes off alone.
Oh, and that's like the sad Hulk music.
Yes, you're such a disappointment. We need to have that on as a soundboard.
Yes, we really do need Lonely Hulk.
I was going to say, for Raven, it kind of sounds like you need to take a step back from from furry and focus on some of your real life responsibilities. You don't have to leave the fandom necessarily, but you sound like you've got shit falling apart everywhere and you need to focus on your real life stuff. You know, don't spend all day watching TV or futzing about on the internet. Actually do the laundry or vacuum, or, you know, even if you can't do the laundry because of the long involved story with the laundry quarters and the phone bill and everything, then at least like do the dishes or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Do something constructive.
Right. Make a difference. You know, and then start your job next week, you know, great.
Make some money.
But, you know, I think you're going to be pretty busy with that because CNA is not exactly a light labor kind of job. So,
yeah.
You know, and then you'll need furry as like an outlet, you know, to relax a little bit. Yeah. But it sounds to me like you really need to focus more on real life for a little while.
Okay.
So next one down.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to do this? What order do we want to go in?
I guess I'll take it.
You can take it. You can take it.
Let's see. Oops, power level slipped. Greetings, Notcasters. First, a little bit of info. I recently rediscovered Notcast after reading Kyle Gold's books and thought back to my first experience with Fuzzwell site Trevor and Simon. This, I hope, lends to the fact that I am most likely a bit more than a little gay. Though I am still closeted and struggling a bit with my sexual orientation, I like to think I hide that part of my life from my friends pretty well. Most people know I'm furry, and despite most of them being disgusted by the concept, accept it as part of me. I still find it hard to trust.
I accept that part of you is disgusting to me.
I still find it hard to trust them with my deeper urges. Which leads to my question. Recently, a group of us, all guys, were in a hotel on a trip. Like most nightly conversations between males, we drifted towards a relationship. Now, I managed to hide my level of furry knowledge pretty well, but I let a little bit of my gay self out in the form of stating most in the form of a statement most heterosexual guys would not say. This led to awkward questions, to me evading, and eventually a change in subject, but the damage was done. Yes, that's me flubbing in person, Fuji. Occasionally, the subject comes up, but once again, I evade or deny. I am debating coming out, but I fear it may lead to repercussions because of their knowledge of me already being a furry, and of course, that means dub people fucking. We are all of college age and will soon part ways, but we still hang out on occasion. Fuck. I do not know if I should come out or just wait until the parting of ways and show my true self elsewhere. Your opinions would be greatly appreciated. The Fort Worth-born, Atlanta-raised Wolf Kinner. P.S. Sorry for the long-windedness of the information. Thank you very much. It really wasn't that long.
I'm wondering what he said. Like,
yeah,
what would a gay wolf say that a hetero would? Hey guys, I got a good idea. Let's all put your cocks in my mouth.
No, he's a wolf, so would it be the other way? Hey guys, just all of you taste it right now. Giggity.
You can have subby wolves.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, you're not even sure of your own sexual orientation. I mean, you could be bi, you could be gay, you might just be heteroflexible enough to suck a cock from once in a while.
An occasional
heteroflexible?
That's pretty flexible. Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of that. Like, you've Gumby never... all of a sudden, like...
Yeah, it's like the mostly straight guy that, like, a couple of beers in, you know, the three-beer queer type.
Yeah.
They're heteroflexible.
See, heteroflexible to me is, like, a straight guy that's okay with sharing a gal with another dude and isn't, like, overly squicked by, you know, accidentally... Not even
the
going
balls touching.
Yeah, not
the
going.
Balls.
But you know that he's more comfortable. You know, not heteroflexible. That's bi. I don't know.
No. My definition of heteroflexible is a straight guy who would suck the right cock.
The right cock, as opposed to the left one.
Like
just the guy on the left. I'm sorry, dude, bro.
Like Liam Neeson's cock only.
Yeah, it's like. You know, I'm straight as an arrow, but man, I would suck Liam Neeson's cock. Or insert, you know,
person.
Person here.
Right.
George Takei.
It's like, you know, Kev, I'm really, really gay, but man, can I suck your cock? Oh, I don't know.
Oh my.
Get the fuck out.
It's like, you ever had your cock sucked on weed?
The waiter, the bowling, the cock sucking. That's horrible.
You just the donkey punch.
You're wrapping weed around the dick so you can suck it and do weed at the same time.
I don't think we want to like that.
How you do that, but I could be wrong.
I'm smoking and I'm smoking cock at the same time. Oh, yeah.
I think that would be a bad idea.
They say guys aren't good at multitasking. All right, but
green and purple, green and purple.
For Kenner, about the coming out thing, you need to figure out if you're comfortable. It's really when you're comfortable. Like, for me, I'm not comfortable being out at work. That just, it can't happen, right? Well, a good portion of people don't know, and I'd like to kind of keep it that way. But,
well, you're on this show.
Those who listen.
It's like, how many people were listening to this?
I was going
to
say, do we need to edit this?
No, not at all. The people that know I'm here know.
Okay.
They are on the know. But for you, it's when you feel comfortable, guy. It's when you're like, okay, I got this. I feel confident. You know, got my Navy motivation. And you're ready to go. And you can tell them that. Let's see.
Plus, I mean, if these are your friends, and I'm, you know, putting quotation fingers up here, you know, they give you shit about being a furry. I mean, yeah, that's a hobby fandom kind of thing. But if they're going to give you shit over that, they're probably going to give you shit about something major like being gay or being bi. I don't know. It's like, how good are you friends with these people?
See, I don't know about that one because my friends give me shit about stuff all the time. But that's just the way the guys are. Like, oh, you're Corman. Corman. Or like my boatswain mate friends who've been out in the fleet and done everything. They're just like, oh, man, we've been out in the fleet. We've been to China and Japan, and we've been to Australia. Oh, what have you done? Oh, guys, I've been at core school. Yeah, school. All day. You know this. I mean, they've done all this cool stuff, and they rag on me, but I know that if worse comes to worse, their ship's going down, and I need help, oh, they've got me. 100%. So, if these are really friends that are just 100% with you, they're not going to care. Yeah, they might give you shit about it, because we're guys. That's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, this really boils down to, like, how good are they friends with us? How good are friends are they? I can't word tonight, goddamn.
I'm rubbing off on you.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're supposed to be over there. Your L-shapedness is affecting me.
L.
We're just going to totally go scat, man, one day and just start being... Dear Notcast.
So, yeah.
Hoodin' Pops.
So, yeah. I think that's it. So.
We're gonna do that one.
Okay.
All right, your turn. Now it's going to be the Corman.
So it's the one called A Great Big Thanks is the next one down. You got it.
Yeah, Corman's up next, though.
Yes. That's you.
That's you.
Now.
Oh, wait, me now?
Because I started. Okay. No, Savard started and Sheevan and you. We go counterclockwise.
Oh, we're going... Oh, wait, Wittershins?
Wittershins.
Oh, the Wittershins. Okay, if I mess up someone's name, I do apologize. Okay. This one's called A Great Big Thanks. Hey there, ears, knot, and sofa. I wanted to write in and thank you guys for all your amazing advice over the last couple of years. I've been a loyal listener since damn near the start, and I will always look forward to hearing what you have to say, not to mention all the lovely, lovely tangents. Moving on. That's what it's saying.
Yeah, there's guys.
Sorry, I got a knife hand with this one. Chief, you know what I mean. You guys have always known just what to say to people to help them out when they need it. And I know I need some good advice just recently. I never wrote it because I didn't feel the need to
to having recent what?
having absorbed
the advice you have given others over the years, and the steady flow of people writing in somewhat similar situations. Commas, please.
No, double words is what's happening.
Well, I can see writing in what seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which could have been phrased better, but that's okay.
Which leads me to my current situation. I've been in a relationship with my fox for over 2 years, and last fall, one of the hardest challenges that can face any relationship reared its ugly head. My mate was going to live in the UK for 9 months to study for his master's degree. Needless to say, I cried my eyes out into his chest the night before he left, and I was a complete wreck for a couple of weeks afterwards. But I never let it affect me to the point of not being able to function. I still went to work and kept up with my routine as best I could, and that got me through it. He came back to visit for Christmas time, and we spent about as much time together as we possibly could. We even attended the one-off furry con in Philadelphia.
First of us.
First of us. Yeah, they normally have a New Year party, but the people doing the New Year party that year were not able to do it. So people threw together a one-time-only furry con for that weekend, and they called it First of Us.
Proto normally DJs that party up there.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which was an absolute blast. The time came for him to return to London, and with it came the tears. But I pushed through, determined to make it easier when I...
Determined to make it to Easter.
Oh, thank you.
Sure.
Determined to make it to Easter when I would fly across the Atlantic to tour the UK with my lovely English fox. The time came, and I had one of my best vacations ever, with a wonderful whirlwind of sightseeing and quiet time together in his flat. I took a ton.
I think that's the British spelling of ton, perhaps.
Where's Zapnut when I need him?
I took a ton of
photos, most of which have yet to find their way to the internet, but are doing so slowly but surely.
Check my XTube account.
Again, the time came for us to part. Came for us to part ways. And I did my best to stay strong. The light at the end of the tunnel, that was getting shorter by the day. That's what she said. Which put us right here, in the here and now. Our ordeal is almost at an end, and hopefully by the time most folks listen to this, we'll be back in each other's arms after being separated for many thousands of miles for so long. My sweet fox
Cameo,
coming back home after studying so hard while I cheered him on from across the ocean, knowing he'd soon come back and we could be together again. This has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, and it can only make our relationship that much stronger, and I owe at least part of our strength to you guys for keeping us both sane while we were so far apart. Keep up the incredible work you guys and gal do for the fandom, and thanks again for doing what you do. Hugs and cuddles all around, Matt Fox. P.S. Cameo, I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. I know you're not expecting to hear this, especially with your own letter this week, but I wanted to proclaim to the world just how excited I am to be so close to having you back and how much I love you.
Aw.
You will always be my sweet, innocent little crimson fox. PPS, sorry for the wall of text wink. Innocent little fox.
I know.
No. Guy, that's really cool that you guys kept an LDR going across the seas. I mean, again, military husky time. Mine is in Maine, and I'm in Texas. Certainly that is not an ocean.
Yes, an ocean of land.
But, that's very, that gives me, that motivates me. Thank you. You have motivated me with your email.
That's pretty madball and hella tight, yo.
Yes, and just for the record, this was in fact a wall of text. It did exceed one page.
Ooh, all right.
Oh, who yeah.
I think that was mostly formatting, though. There seemed to be a lot of hard returns in there.
No, it's properly formatted, and there's punctuation and paragraphs, and it's past one page in size 12 times New Roman.
Paragraphs are hot.
Yeah, we like emails that are properly punctuated.
Use more paragraphs.
Yeah.
Need more paragraphs.
Well, that email was fine, but
in
a general sense, need more paragraphs.
And less run-on sentences.
By the way, that reminds me, I was ranting on something on Twitter the other day that I get emails both on the show and personally that start off with the "Please excuse my spelling and grammar," right before.
I got that one.
Oh, did you send us one like
no,
that?
No, I saw that if you have a disability, then it's an excuse, but being lazy is not an excuse. And I was like,
exactly.
Hey, Chief, your soap notes? Yeah, all kinds of this.
Soap notes?
All the...
Oh, a soap note is when
stop dropping them in the shower.
Only with the unattractive sailors.
No, be more discriminating.
No, our soap notes are when you come into our clinic and you say, "Hey, doc, this is what's wrong with me. I feel sick, blah, blah, blah." We go ahead and write down your vitals, what's wrong with you, what we find wrong with you, what we think we should do for you. That's a soap note. And his are just run-on sentences and not abbreviated.
And he's going to be hearing this, isn't
he? Yes, he is. I know I'm going to be, like, doing paperwork for the next 3.5 weeks.
"Hey, doc, my balls feel a little heavy. Can you help me out here? I think they may need unloaded." So, yeah, back on that. If you have a learning disability of some kind, or your English is not your first language, or something along those lines, then sure, I understand the punctuation, the spelling might be a bit shit. But if you know how to write and you're just lazy, like, I've gotten things submitted to me for publication where the email, which is like kind of like the cover letter for a job, right? I mean, the email that you send to the publisher saying, "I want to be published," is really, really badly written. And then you open up the document, and the document's fine. So it's like either you just got really lazy writing the email, or you had somebody proof the document and you didn't have somebody proof your email or something. But no, there is no excusing spelling and grammar unless you have a good reason. So the next time we get one where it's like, "Please excusing my spelling and grandma."
Oh, you want to be a Ritter?
Grandma. no, it's not going to happen.
I definitely want to be a Ritter when I grow up. I want to get published.
Publicized.
Well, no, we do the same thing at work. Like, if somebody says, "Oh, I want some purple drank," or "go there," we're like, wait, spell it.
Well, apparently, I've seen pictures of it. There is purple drank now, though. Oh, so you can actually.
You didn't know that there's actually something called purple.
There's a product called purple drank.
Oh, I'm going to find some for you. Yes, we're in DFW.
I have to see this purple drank.
You have to go to, like, the scummier, like, beer and wine shops to get it.
A couple around, so.
Yeah, that's true. Look at this. His,
oh, there you go.
My
that's God. Not the actual I'm trying to get over here,
I want to there catch it go. Underneath.
It's anti-energy drink. Slow your roll. it's a drink that has, like, cough syrup ingredients.
Melatonin
in it.
Anti-energy drink.
Oh, my God.
It's binary sleep. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, anti-energy drank.
Oh, look, there's like a picture of this dude on it.
That looks like the Kids Hide Your Wife dude.
Oh, a little bit, yeah. It's the red bandana, the red do-rag.
Oh.
Oh, someone's took a picture of cough syrup it's and called it purple. It's like Robitussin. Good God.
That's horrible.
I feel weird that we're educating you about this.
Because we always did. We always said, oh, give me, Doc, can I have something to drink? What? No, you gotta spell that. D-R-N-K drank.
That's like a dick.
Okay, so.
Read an email.
So, purple drank.
It's actually a thing. I'm glad we could educate
you. We have paused the show for some purple drank. Okay, so I'll read the next one. Okay, off topic, response to pansexuality discussion, episode 181.
Oh, that skillet sexy. No.
Oh, yeah. Kill it, skillet, grill it.
Read the email.
Swag.
I'm partial to a walk myself.
Oh, you want to go walkies?
Oh, rock and roll. I wanted to respond to...
We killed her.
And no, they tried to kill me on the third when they make me laugh while smoking hookah. That was mean.
that would have been our banter. Like, a bunch of us all went smoking hookah together, and it was like...
Making me laugh when I've got a lung full is mean.
We nearly killed Kyo, too.
Yes.
And I was like, racking up the points. I give myself points if I crack somebody up while they're smoking. I wanted to respond to the discussion on pansexuality from the Not Logic episode 181, as it pertains to my area of academic study and expertise. Both the writer and the cast were partially right. Yay! Of course, I wasn't here that week, so...
Yeah, it's like, yay!
Saverin and I are innocent in this fuckery.
Oh. Saverin, innocent.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's only partial innocence.
Yeah, fox. Scheme, fox.
Oh, those ears are so big and luscious.
Read the email. Goddamn.
I fill your ears with my load.
No.
And then the doctor's going to be like...
How did you get this ear infection again?
No, because I'm the doctor.
And he's going to know exactly how it got there. And be like, well, the solution in this case is to even out your hearing so that he humps the other one.
Read the
Don't
email.
Don't worry, your senses will adjust in time. And your eyesight will get better to compensate for your loss of hearing.
It didn't work that way.
It totally works that way.
Dr. Fuzz.
That's right, Dr. Fuzz. Okay, I identify first as queer, second as pansexual, and third as Saverin. And third is bisexual. The writer was correct in that bisexual is orientated to the binary, referring to male or female sexed individuals. The problem with the binary system is that even with biology, the binary does not exist. There are people who do not necessarily fit into the biologically defined categories of male or female, either in between the two or wholly without. Strictly speaking, bisexuality reinforces the idea that there are only male or female sexed people. However, my personal belief is that bisexuality is not built upon that, but is instead a simplified way of saying, I am attracted to people regardless of sex. Bisexuality is really the simplest way of stating a sexual desire that is not sex-specific. Even when I identify as bisexual, I am using it as a simple way of saying that I will sleep with the entire spectrum. I would fuck the crack of dawn if I had enough lube. I will stop ad-libbing.
No, you won't. You'll just take a small break.
Right.
Well, see, dawn, it could be male or female.
That's right. Now, my understanding of pansexuality is a way of expressing a sexual desire to people regardless of sex or gender identity. I have also understood and seen it used to express a sexual desire not built on sexual attraction, but built on specific traits that are performed by other people regardless of gender or sex. For example, very rarely I have very rarely been able to verbally or physically express physical desire outside of sexual encounters, whereas others refer to this or that person as hot or get an erection. So my use of pansexuality is because it remains a looser definition than bisexuality, but is still defined, which is why I identify first as queer. Queer lacks definitions, and that is the way it is supposed to be, but is unfortunately also used interchangeably for homosexuality by older people, including my MA dissertation supervisor. The only definable trait of queer is a rejection of normativity. Wow, okay. Whereby people strive to share the same experiences as the imaginary hegemonic majority in society. I simply do not care about pushing myself into a box of anyone else's understanding. I reject the concept of either or both, as the sheer possibilities of sexual desires and gender performances make this concept an illogical regime of exclusion and inclusion. However, I still recognize the need of politics and activism, which requires some strategic essentializing of one's identities. Thank you, Spivak. Whether built on sexuality, gender, sex, nationality, ethnicity, race, religion, profession, Pokemon type, etc.
So you couldn't last.
In order to make society tolerable and inclusionary. I remain reluctant to politically identify with the hetero, homo, bisexual axiom due to the gradual shifting of the movement into exclusionary practices and the usurpation of radical fringes politics by Gay Inc., specifically invoked by the Village Voice recently in response to practices and disclosures of NYC Pride Center that have given rise to a normative expression of non-heterosexuality and supporting exclusionary practices and language that used to be what the LGBT movement resisted. This may seem like a weird place to end up from where it has started, but the interconnection between identity, experience, politics, etc., all inform our understanding of ourselves and how we choose to identify before the world. All of these complex relationships are why I feel bisexuality is both limited, but also used in ways that are not limited, and pansexuality is really no different. Sincerely, the American Fox in London, Cameo. Hmm. Who was Matt Fox's mate? Who just wrote in?
I have to say that has to be one of the more intelligently and well written emails that we've received. I mean,
yeah, it's the dude is getting his master's, he knows how to write, and I get what he's going at, but like, I imagine for most people hearing that, they're halfway to the end, they're like.
What?
P.S. Also Cox. You know, I just throw it out there.
To husky that down. As it were.
So
marf, marf, marf. Marf, marf, marf.
I actually didn't get it because I was focusing too much on reading it.
Well, basically, this is like
I understand. I'm joking, but I understand. But, yeah, I actually find the study of sexuality really fascinating.
I do too.
There's a couple of folks that I know that have majored in that, and I was like, wow, you get to like study fucking. That's awesome. Well, okay, more than that. But I imagine human sexuality and gender identity is a very interesting field. And I would say, like, hell, I'm at the point of. Like, I dumb down my sexuality as it is. Like, I dumb it down and let people think I'm gay because I've been with a man for 10 years. Because bisexuality is even misunderstood and maligned and has all these negative stereotypes. So I wouldn't even go to, like, pansexuality in that case. Cause
that's a whole nother... People are like, what does that mean?
You'd be like, you one of them pagans? You know, just it's just so out there.
You want to fuck a satyr? That's kind of weird.
You can use the term bisexual, and they're going to get a rough idea. If you say you're pansexual, they're going to cock their head and go, what the hell is that?
Well, I mean, this is also in Texas.
Yeah.
Where the concept of people not being straight is somewhat hard to get into some people's heads. Never mind the full spectrum of human sexuality.
Right.
Okay. All of its delightfully weird colors.
All those wonderful in and out bits that we love so much.
Yeah.
So many orifices to choose from.
That was a very smartly written email.
Gotta fuck
there. Them all. And, hopefully that will clarify any questions people had regarding episode 181. So, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read an email. Power level over 9,000! But quietly.
Yay!
Dear Notcasters, I personally don't find it annoying if someone shows off their love for a particular fandom or hobby, regardless of whether I'm into it or not. I don't understand the rampant hatred towards fans of Pony from some corners of the internet, and indeed parts of the furry community, since this children's TV show has gained a furry fanbase. It's no different from the Legion of Sonic, Ninja Turtles, or Robin Hood fans, which the fandom has owned for decades. Admittedly, if someone tries to buff you up with their power level, for example, demanding that you watch every episode of MLP so you can get the references they make on their Twitter feed, that can be more than a little annoying, but that applies to any situation regardless of geek status. Religion as a whole isn't annoying. The religious views of others being shoved down your throat, however you like it, is annoying.
In order to understand my Twitter feed, you will have to watch 50 years of Doctor Who and engage in the spin-off media.
Which I have to say, I'm working
on. Oh, okay.
Yes, because you said watch them all. So I was like, huh, we should watch all of them. The only thing we haven't seen right now, well, we're working on right now, is the Planet of the Daleks, or remember, something of the Daleks. It's an older movie, and I cannot find it anywhere.
Oh.
He may be able to fix this.
Yes, the invasion of the Daleks.
Masturbation of the Daleks.
I'm going to tell you what your present is, because we had it here, and he took it back in his case because we didn't think I'd be here.
Oh, well, what was this?
It's you getting fucked by a Dalek, and it's screaming, ejaculate!
Oh my god! No, I don't roll 34, Doctor!
And it was...
You don't, he does.
it was originally his idea, so I take no credit for that, but I got it done, and we were like, oh, he's gonna lose his mind.
Out of rage.
My nose starts bleeding.
that's like, draw fuzz, bang in Fluttershy. I don't think that'd be well received either.
Just the world catches on fire.
So, anyways, myself.
She's too cute to fuck.
I wear clothes with Doctor Who quotes on the back and gleefully show off my Batman Converse shoes. I do not, however, boast about my furriness and have never seen the need to bring it up to anyone I know IRL who isn't a fur themselves. At the same time, though, if anyone asked if I was furry, I'd be perfectly happy to tell them yes. So I guess you'd say I'm somewhere in the middle in this matter, to the extremes, therefore, I have to say. To those who feel that your personal hobby should stay hidden and personal, I think they need to loosen up. Without sharing your interests and feelings with other people, there's a severe limit on the social interaction and bonding you can achieve with those around you. On the other end of the spectrum, however, the people who shove every little detail of their most beloved interest down the throats of all around them need to take a step back and realize that it's all about a mix of give and take. They need to give time to what other people might enjoy too, and realize that just because someone doesn't enjoy what you enjoy, it's not an insult or slight on your personality. With regards to a question on the subject, I'd like to ask the podcast resident Whovian if he's ever encountered the sort of star-craving Doctor Who fanboy/girls that I have. I know one young woman who went so far as to date a professional David Tennant/10th Doctor impersonator, and she made me so sick of Tin that for a while after I started hanging out with her, I got so sick of her going on that I couldn't bear to watch a Tennant episode for several months, which is a shame, given that Midnight is one of my all-time favorites, despite being written by Russell T. Davies. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Brew.
Which one was Midnight?
The one where he's, trapped with this group of people in this little shuttle that's moving across a planet that's made of diamonds.
Okay, yeah, that one.
And the creature, and the repeating.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's one of my favorites also. It's a very cool episode. It seems to be a love it or hate it. Some people were annoyed by it. I just thought it was really cool.
I thought it was okay. Not one of my favorites, but I thought it was decent.
It was
Blink
a submarine
is still
episode.
My favorite.
Yeah. Blink, I can't watch that in front of my computer with the wall behind me in the dark. That never, ever can happen.
Just click. I'm a fan of, I guess the 10 Little Indian style story where it's a group of people trapped somewhere and they're getting picked off one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of my favorite tropes in movies and storytelling, and that Midnight pretty much fit that bill.
Yeah, I can see that.
I've been lucky, I guess. I don't think I've encountered... I mean... Well, there's always the over-the-top fans at cons sometimes.
Yeah, and this is in every fandom.
Yeah, but I haven't really had... I've been lucky, I guess, in my Doctor Who interaction. Also, I've really removed from the Doctor Who fan community because I got really burned out on it in the 90s on the news group, you know, when it was just all bickering and fighting and whining over whose Doctor had the bigger sonic screwdriver.
Instead of just enjoying it.
Yeah, instead of just enjoying the show. Because, yeah. I mean, my point of view is that he's all the Doctor, all 11 of him, and it's just all different aspects of the same character. I enjoy his whole story.
That's the whole thing about Doctor Who. Is I am actually a huge fan. I've been watching it since I was as young as I can remember, but I don't really feel an urge to join the community because I don't really want to hear it torn apart. I mean, some trivia is good, mm-hmm. but I just don't enjoy some of the nitpicking that people do, and then they argue over the nitpicks.
Yeah.
And I just don't
argue continuity in a show that's about time travel. You're just going to end up frustrated. Mm-hmm. It's bad enough trying to argue continuity issues in something like Star Trek, which hangs together relatively well. But, you know, and some of like the behind-the-scenes stuff is really interesting and such.
Yeah.
But you can get that from like a DVD commentary. It was the signal-to-noise ratio from the Doctor Who fan community was getting really lousy, where it was less signal and more bitching. What was cool about the 90s, though, is, what was it exactly? I'm trying to remember what it was exactly that he did. So back in the day, Stephen Moffat used to post to WreckArch Doctor Who years and years before he wrote most of the TV that he became known for. This was like back in 95, 96. And he had said, there was a post that he made that it was like, I would love to have the Doctor do this. And I can't remember what it is exactly right now, but that happened in an episode that he
did. And then they dug it up out of the news group.
And somebody dug it up and be like, oh my God, Moffat had this idea like 16 years ago, basically.
And he's been holding on to this little gem.
Yeah, and then when he was script editor, he put it into play. I'll have to look it up. But I mean, so it's kind of cool for a historical thing like that. Like, some of the people that wrote some of the novels in the 90s, a lot of them posted to the news group and stuff. But, so I guess my sort of distancing myself from the Doctor Who fan community, I have luckily not experienced someone that has gone overboard. I see it on Facebook a lot whenever they post like something from the new series and it'll be a picture of Matt Smith or one of the new companions. There'll be half the comments will be whang about bring back David Tennant. Like they said, what should we do for the 50th anniversary? And three quarters of it were bring back David Tennant. And half of them were like, have the Doctor regenerate backwards into David Tennant. And it's just like, fucking get over it. Oh my God. Just,
Kids these days, I
swear. Wow, he accidentally tweaked some Who rage there. Sorry. but he had good points. I actually agree with pretty much everything, you know. People shouldn't hate on somebody just for whatever they're into. And, you know, you should be comfortable with a moderate display of power level.
But, yeah, it's the people that spend the time making, like, hate art and making anti-groups on, like, Fur Affinity and DA.
Those are really sad people.
Really make me wonder. Well, like, I commented the other day. I saw this on the front page of FA.
Uh-huh.
And it was, like, something, the anti-brony device by some shitty artist who, like, the tag was kill all bronies. And it was this shitty drawing of this dude with, like, a spike through his fucking head. And he was with his shirt, and he didn't even bother to get the fucking current right logo. So, like, this magical G3 design logo shirt that doesn't exist anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there was one comment before me, but I just was like, 0 out of 10, would laugh again. You know, it's like, get over your fucking self. Jesus Christ.
Well, like, for the show MLP, for stuff like that, every time I spot one, I love putting the comment, it's okay, because I love and tolerate you.
Well, I don't even, like, have to deal with that bullshit, because I don't think that, you know, that kind of nonsense just, it needs to be mocked. Because it's like, you made hate art? Are we going to get rustled here? Are we going to get mad? We're just going to laugh at you. It's like, why are you
They're
wasting
gonna
your energy?
They're all going to laugh at you. All the brownies are going to laugh at you.
Plug it up. Plug it up.
That's...
Sorry. That was a good movie, though. That's Carrie just...
You can do it! Cut his fucking head off!
But yeah, it was just this...
Yeah, that seems really retarded to me. It's like there was a guy that was tweeting about Chicago TARDIS a couple years ago, because Paul McGann, the Eighth Doctor, was the guest of honor there. And this guy was saying he was a fake doctor because he denies the existence of the TV movie. So in his mind, Christopher Eccleston is 8, David Tennant is 9, and Matt Smith is 10. And it's just like...
What a fuckhead.
You're a fucking moron! And just completely deny reality because the show currently acknowledges all 11 of them. So it's like, you have no...
You know,
ground to stand on your argument, you know?
Unfortunately, I tend to subscribe to that camp. I really didn't like 8.
And but I that know doesn't mean that he didn't exist.
No, seriously, Shiva. He existed.
Oh, I know. That doesn't mean I have to like it.
See, I've never been on this side of Doctor Who. I've only been on the side, oh my god, it's another episode, slobber. And
see, you know, I think that people that give that much of a shit about a particular iteration of the Doctor really need to chill out. It's like, it's just a show. Enjoy this show, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Don't be like, oh no, if Eccleston showed up again, I'd fucking burn down BBC, you know? Or,
really,
oh man,
Eccleston.
Matt Smith needs to eat like a dozen sandwiches. Goddamn, he's a skeleton, you know?
I thought that was more Tennant, but you know.
No, they're both scrawny
Smith
motherfuckers.
Smith is like skinny as hell.
Yes, Tennant is just ridiculously attractive.
But
it's not fair.
It's just, it's really, really derpy in all iterations of the word. It's just, because, like, the particular arguments at the time were, like, the Third Doctor fans were arguing with the Seventh Doctor fans. And, you know, you can take this to an insane degree. Well, it sucks since Tennant left. Well, it sucks since the show came back in 2005. Well, the 80s sucked. Well, it sucked ever since it was aired in color, damn it. Hartnell or nothing else, you know? I mean, how far back are you going to roll your fan rage?
You know, it's like you run around with buttons, my doctor has Alzheimer's, you know? It's in black and white with a gray bow tie or whatever.
But so, it's just... that's just one example. I mean, you know, Star Trek has 5 TV series and multiple movies, so there's different levels of fan rage entering that. And Star Wars is at least, like, they're pretty much all on board and that they all hate anything except for the original trilogy.
When it comes to Trek, I feel like a little bit of a pariah because I really like the Enterprise series with Scott Bakula.
Well, I enjoyed it. Mm. But then again, I mean, I also had the past of having been a Quantum Leap fan, so
yeah.
I was kind of predisposed to liking Scott Bakula as an actor.
I don't have an opinion because I didn't watch anything after, like, the second season of Voyager, so...
Okay, so set phasers to stun...
How far in are we?
We're like an hour.
So,
because our retarded fan rage has boiled over. No, we have 7 minutes till the hour.
Set phasers
so
to hug.
We should do another email before
Okay. This one's a long one. Let me see if I can find a shorter one. This is like really long. Here's one. Hiding your power level. Hi, Notcasters. I think it's long time listener, first time. It's LTLFTM. What is first time?
Long time listener, first time writer.
But
first,
it's
first time mailer.
Mailer?
Maybe.
There we go.
First time motherfucker!
word. All
and
up in this.
And I'd like to share my thoughts on hiding your power level. I live in Tennessee and work around rednecks and stereotypical Christians. As much as I hate it, I feel it's very necessary to hide my pony level. I love to work in a more open-minded setting where admission of alternative interests doesn't instigate accusations of perversions or deviance, even if they are not untrue. Oh, wait. Even if they have, are not... whatever. Benign interests are benign. For me, it boils down to a matter of confidence to deal with the... So you're into... Underline A. They're a bunch of freaks conversation. Although as a professional, having a career rather than a job, I must consider the negative consequences of clients and coworkers' awareness of my interests. They could hurt my professional career when they are bigoted, hateful, immature fuckwits. So I hide my final form, not from shame, but to spare the muggles from the carnage of my fully armed and operational battle toads.
I love the mixture of genres there.
P.S. Was Sabred at SpaghettiCon 2012, and is Inky Spots actually Fuzz and Pony's face? Sincerely, Oberon, derp from my eye derp.
So, Sabred, were you at SpaghettiCon 2012?
No, and actually, from all accounts, BronyCon 2012 went really well.
The spaghetti wasn't contained.
The there were some unfortunate photos, but it seems like the staff was good. They held their shit together long enough to make it to the end. The talent and VAs were all there and had a lot of fun. The guys doing the streaming are fuckheads and wouldn't let other competing people try to put their audio equipment up. The sound quality was awful on any of the streams, so what can you do?
Mm. And apparently they also censored one of the panels.
No, that was a mistake. There was some cross-communication.
Okay.
And,
because I was going to say, that's a bullshit, yo!
Yeah.
That's a bull. Yay!
but, no, it went well. The people had, the VAs had fun, the average unfortunate Pony fan.
Pictures were not of the VAs, right?
Yeah.
Tara Strong didn't have a last Friday night kind of moment or something.
Oh, that would be hot. I mean, but no, it went well. And I kind of missed out. But then again, I kind of didn't miss out spending $1,300.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I have other cons to attend.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I was not at BronyCon. There was no spaghetti for me. But I did eat ravioli on that weekend. Maggiano's ravioli.
In honor of the con.
Yeah. Celestia is still not pleased that you were not in attendance.
Yeah, well, I think she's attending Everfree, so.
You're totally going to the moon for this one. Totally going to the moon.
Actually, Luna will be at Everfree, too, so.
Yeah.
She will finally have so many friends
here on the moon. Tabitha.
Yes. For this guy, like.
And yeah, Inky Spots is my Ponsona.
Ponsona. yeah, it does suck about living in Tennessee and having to work around dumb shits that any sort of deviance away from the NASCAR, football, and cross burning is seen as, you know, oh, you're one of them perverts.
I don't know, what about that? Like the jacked pony who's like, yeah,
roid rage. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, just
how does he fly with those tiny wings?
Just like
pure rage,
just totally pony swag out on that.
Roid rage. Oh.
But yeah, that does suck because even in my line of work, I go around the base and just, oh my god, you have a My Little Pony shirt. Yeah, mad pony swag, dude. All the females love mad pony swag.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
because you were all after getting with the chicks.
Let me tell you.
What's really funny though is that when you know the guys that have the high speed, like the high speed low drag Rainbow Dash patch, and like the guys that have like stuff up in their, I guess, meeting rooms or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's tons of military guys that like My Little Pony.
There really are.
Pony swag brings all the mayors to the
bar. What's really funny is like you see these guys. They're, like, out in the shit, I guess. The sandbox.
They're out in the shit. Just sitting in a pile of...
Yay.
No, they're, like, out in Afghanistan or wherever. And they're in their BDUs. They got their guns, but they have a little, like, Rainbow Dash in their pocket.
Mm-hmm. We send them to them.
Yeah, it's... You know, there's, like, that one story where, like, one supposedly, like, caught some shrapnel for a dude.
Seriously?
Yeah, but that could be hearsay. I don't know.
At one point, it was in season 2, I heard class, what was it? Yeah, it was 060. They were marching to the opening theme of My Little Pony, because we ran out of stuff to sing, and apparently their cadence caller just starts calling it, and all the way we meet up for at the end of the day, so he can go back in the house. All the classes are just looking at him and started singing along. It was the most bizarre thing I have ever seen. And not everybody watches the show. I would love to see that on
YouTube.
That's definitely something I'll record in the next class that I have to usher in. But yeah, the computer labs are filled on Saturday. You're either watching anime, ponies, or some crappy action movie that they're playing. But most of the time, it's ponies.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
This is fucking Al-Qaeda's insidious plan to infiltrate our military with ponies.
No, man. See, that's what we need to do is we need to, like, airdrop.
Bin Laden ponies?
No. What we need to do is,
I don't,
like,
always wear a vest, but when I do, it's the bomb.
No, what you need to do is, like, drop, like, DVD players with episodes of Pony into, like, Taliban-occupied parts of wherever and just be like, these purple horses, I love it. You know? Why are these mares not wearing burkas?
Excuse me, sir. We love and tolerate.
I could use some. All right, so we're going to go to break. We've got some music from the guys Wolfie Man sent in last week talking. They're called Die Monster Die. And this week's song is going to be Laika the Russian Space Dog Will Have Her Revenge. Which, you have to admit, it's a pretty cool title. From the album Fall to Your Knees Before Zod.
Wait, bus, the cops will tumble. Undying space dog partners. Hot devils cross their names on hand. Let's have a howl on Hillbane Carbon. Sacrificed in the name of science. And with her last but she swears revenge.
Your face has not melted, and you have enjoyed the song. The links to their iTunes page will be in the show notes. So, we have an item from Adam and Eve this week. What is it?
I am a stroker set. Slip it into anime mouth, pussy, and ass.
Wait, what?
Anime stroker set. So, you like anime? It's three strokers. There's a pussy, an asshole, and a mouth. Miho, deep throat. Serika, tight pussy. Rimi, tight ass. For what whatever mood your boner is in, there's a sweet Japanese anime character to drain you dry. Miho's throat is open-ended for easy cleaning, while Serica's pussy and Rimi's ass are closed-ended for superior suction sensations. Made from super stretchy TPR material and ready to take every inch you've got. And each stroker is lined with a unique set of channels and textures for three vibes of pleasure. Each measure is 4 inches deep by 2 inches wide. And then there's descriptions of each of them. I really like tight ass. Grab this ass anytime you desire and stuff it full of your hard cock. A little lube goes the wrong way as Remy is shaked inside like a woman's real ass for extra tightness. Close ended for all the kind of ball draining experience you love.
I can't find. There we go. View all 120. I'm like, where are you seeing this?
So it's $29.95, and you get all three of them together. And if you use our coupon code KNOT, KNOT, it takes 50% off of those. So that takes it down to only $14.98.
Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Dolphins?
Dolphins.
Yeah,
the microphone stands are powered by dolphins.
Yes.
Yep. Well, I was about to say, and I get a dolphin? Because let me tell you, I get all three things and a dolphin. I'm buying this now. I'd be dumb not to get it.
What a bargain.
Free dolphin with every order.
These are very similar to these Cyberskin Stroker triplets that we had as an item a little bit ago. Just think, look at those colors and think for half a second and be like,
a minute.
Anyway, the worst part is that I was just like, oh shit, we need an item. And it was like Shiva that like brought it up.
And that.
Well, the yellow one, because.
These three colors are.
Well, there's flesh tone and like.
Well, that's there's
not
like.
Not flesh tone, that's Pinkie Pie
it's
Pink.
It's Pinkie Pie Pink Vag, Fluttershy Yellow Ass, and Nightmare Moon Purple Mouth.
I didn't say this.
Not at all. Dear Princess Celestia, I learned today.
Today I learned about Fluttershy's. Ball draining experience.
I don't see a yellow one.
The eyes are flesh colored.
Oh,
yeah, but it's kind of yellowish.
Guys,
and Pinkie Pie's tight little pun is ready and waiting for your throbbing member. Just lube up with a water based sex lube and stuff it in. Inside are channels and textures and M&Ms and whipped cream that feel like the real thing.
Party cannon.
Close-ended for incredible airtight suction power. You'll shoot a load like a party cannon. Use our coupon code KNOT, that's P-O-N-Y, K-N-O-T.
Just
to get 50% off admission to the next BronyCon. Only available from AdamandEve.com.
Jesus.
The PonyCon in your bedroom?
Actual PonyCon, not guaranteed.
Or would that be Pony Non-Con?
Anyways, hey.
It'd be Pony Cum. Oh.
Hey, we're going to move on to emails. Oh, my God.
Wait, have you seen that horrible GIF with, like, the Hulk and that really pretty girl? She's covered in, like, Nickelodeon slime.
Yes.
Oh, God. He was describing that one. We have.
Okay. I read the last one, so it's Fuji's turn.
Which one is me?
Well, whichever one.
Okay.
This one's titled, Wow, I'm clever. A question that needs some womanly advice update.
I don't even see that one.
It's there.
Oh, okay, I'm already selecting it, that's why I don't see it. Alright, okay, go ahead.
Dear Ears, L-Shaped, and Wuzzy, whomever that may be.
That's me, I guess. Yeah, it's me. He explains it.
I would like to remain anonymous, please. I would like to thank you all for reading my email on the Not Logic episode, and thank you for the advice. After shortly hearing the podcast, I was able to sit down and over the phone talk to her for over 2 hours. It turns out she is going through some personal issues that she wanted to figure out on her own and was afraid to talk to me, fearing that we would break up.
Okay. This one is basically he'd been in a relationship with a gal for 3 years, and she'd been reluctant to make it move forward and or even meet in person. And he was wondering if he was even in a relationship. And we advised him to talk to her,
mm-hmm.
amongst other rambling advice. But yes. Okay. Keep going.
After we also talked about where we both see each other in the relationship, it was decided I was looking to take the next step for us was to meet and meet the folks. While she was still not comfortable right now due to her own job search and the stress of her family and school on her shoulders. We both decided that it was best to end the relationship but remain friends. Thank you for the advice once again, for it helped me lay out the conversation. Now for the on-topic part of my email. Why do I hide that I am a furry? Reason I hide it is for the fact of my parents. They are great people but do not seem to understand my interests all that well. I also hide it due to the fact that I live in a really small town and being a fur could hurt my chances at getting a job due to the ever-popular CSI episode. That is all I have to say on the subject. I hope that things are going well for all of you and that there are more episodes to come. Sincerely, Large Blank Black Line.
Large Black Rectangle.
Yes. Thank you, Censor Bar. The name has been blacked out to help with the remaining anonymous. I'd like to see the name. No, that's okay, guy.
Yeah, you don't have to read the PS. I got it.
All right.
Well, okay, but thank you very much.
That's a follow-up.
With the follow-up.
You got resolution.
And I totally understand you're keeping the furry on the DL in that situation.
You know, it's amazing to think that episode could still have the... You know, it's still like the one big thing in the collective unconscious of pop culture. It's like, furries. Oh, yeah, I remember a CSI episode from like a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, they rerun them all the time. They're in syndication
because there's so many of them. Still.
I get that, too, like every once in a while. Somebody goes, oh, CSI. I'm like, well, first of all, those look like garbage.
Okay. It aired October 30th, 2003.
Really? It's 2003?
That long ago.
9 years ago. Yeah. 8.5.
And I'm sorry, anybody who takes that show seriously deserves to. Because, I mean, it's television. It's made to entertain you. And if you believe everything you see on TV, then my God, Star Trek, stop watching now.
Please. You mean I can't go back in time with the Doctor?
No, never.
See, the problem with that is that people know it's a drama and it's made up and stuff, but... It comes off like a for real forensics show,
mm-hmm.
So people are more. It's not science fiction; it's more modern day. So
but it's still very science fiction-y with their.
Oh, I know. Yeah, like, but people just eat up what comes out of realistic quote unquote style shows like that on network TV, and it was like a number one show at the time. So
yeah.
Those weirdo people that go, well, don't you have this like. Super machine that can trace DNA from like one glob of sweat, and you can just nail the guy. What are you talking about? No,
doesn't work that way.
Why doesn't it?
I saw this on TV. Oh,
you're not gonna write a GUI thing in Visual Basic to track his IP? Really?
Oh man, it's like watching hackers.
Okay.
And like when they hack in, there's this fucking effects and everything.
Yeah.
That's a good guilty pleasure movie. I still enjoy that film. What? What?
You do not work in the IT field, do you?
That's her face. I use computers all the time.
Why can't you actually use my computer?
Oh, just the Panther with the head shaking.
If only they knew.
That's totally what Happy is like. Because it's real, because I saw it in a movie.
You're going to get the doorknob cave if you keep it up.
Oh, itch in my leg there. Okay.
So. There is a doorknob cane.
Yes. Yeah.
So he read that, so it's my...
The doorknob cane is a real thing.
Yeah, it is. It is
feel
I did not know it was
it's an actual thing.
It's an actual physical
object. Got that at TRF or something, didn't you?
No, I got it at like a craft show my parents were at.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I was just like, holy shit, it's a doorknob cane. And I bought it.
I modified pimp cane.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I ran into the guy again at another craft show, and he goes to old houses that are getting demolished, and he takes all their doorknobs.
Hmm.
Just runs up. I want this.
And makes them into canes that he sells for like $40 a pop.
Remember, we had that dude at a con brought us like a bag of doorknobs?
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like, we appreciate the cinnamon.
Wait a minute, wasn't that Keo?
I don't think it was Keo.
Yes, yes. Yes, it was.
Was it Keo?
I think it was Keo, like so far back that I don't think he even...
It was Keo. Oh.
Panther is
he
nine.
Didn't even live here then. That's how far back this was. But like, in, I guess, the dorm that he was working in or something, they changed out all the door handles.
Oh, that was when he was an RA.
Yeah, that was when he was an RA. And so he just brought this bag of doorknobs to MFM one year.
And you were like, wow, thanks.
Yeah, and for a while I had one of the doorknobs because they have the stem sticking up when they go through the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had one of them as the display to put the Notcast DVD on.
That's right.
Yeah. We have to, like, oh, God.
See, my memory is so bad. I had to try to cast back 4 years in my brain to remember that. And I just...
Yep.
Blah. Okay. I guess I have to read an email now.
Yes. Yep.
All right, I'll just read this next one then. Hiding my power level? Nah. Hey, guys. It's that Trucker Fox of the Upper Midwest again. I don't get a chance to write in often, so I figured I'd take it while I could and give you the other side of today's topic and let you know about my unique position of being openly furry in a very public way. While I'm not one to yell, look at me, I'm a furry, I have no problems talking about it if it comes up or I have a reason to. Not too long ago, I did have good reason to bring it up. For a little backstory, so this makes sense, I drive mostly at night. Typically, there isn't much worth listening to on the CB, especially on remote highways at night. So much rage on that thing, you'd think it were the internet sometimes, but I digress. Instead of that or flipping channels on the stereo all the time, I got a Sirius XM subscription, and they have a trucking channel on there. One of the shows I loved at nights is a college show that has an interesting format. The host puts on two callers at the same time from across the U.S. and Canada at the start of a segment, and they just shoot the breeze until the next commercial break. There's no real topic of the hour as set by the host like in other talk shows. Topics could go from talking about industry news in one segment, someone's latest fishing trip the next, and something as mundane as socks after that. It's great for passing the time.
Socks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On ponies, you say. No.
God. It's great for passing the time and the miles by, and I started calling in. It's actually kind of challenging because you need to have something you want to discuss as a backup in case the topic dies out so there is a dead air. With it being an open topic format and a large number of regular callers, you start to find out about some about the caller's personal lives. The host decided to build on that and started doing long-form one-on-one interviews with the regulars that lets them tell their life story. Here's where my coming out happened. When my name was drawn to be interviewed, I had already been thinking about if and how to address the furry issue with how it helped me get over a divorce. While being a fur may not hold some deep spiritual meaning to me or anything like that, it does hold a special place in my past. It gave me a hobby to get out of my funk, make friends, and meet my now fiancé. During my interview, I was a bit nervous, but just willed my way through the furry part. Heck, just saying the word furry sounds kind of silly to me still. The host wasn't familiar with the fandom, but seemed rather interested in that part of the story. He asked about the social aspects of the fandom, activities, etc. After the interview, I didn't think much of it. I played furry about as even keel as I could to the rest of the interview, so I didn't make a fool of myself gushing over this one thing. Turns out the host later did more research on his own about the fandom after the interview, and several of the other callers I've been paired with were also interested in hearing more about it. The downside is that several of them heard about the sexual aspects, especially fursuit sex. As I've told them all, I don't deny it exists, but I do give as best of real-world info as I can on the subject if they ask. Things like just how hot is it in suit, how expensive they can be when considering having one for sex, and using an analogy I heard on one of your earlier episodes of how when you have any large group of teen to early 20s dudes together, duh, sex is going to come up like it does anywhere else that group exists. For the most part, I think they all take it in stride well and understand the fandom really isn't specifically about dog people fucking, as you guys so eloquently put it. I think they just keep asking me about it because, as we all know, sex sells. I'm sure I'll have more people question me about it as time goes on, and more people hear me talking about it. Considering the channel is called The Road Dog, and the host opens the show by saying, yeah, almost made it through. I was holding off a yawn the whole time. It's like, oh, sorry.
Release the hounds.
Really? Smithers, release the hounds. Me yapping about wouldn't be too off the wall. Sure, maybe I don't rise to the level of famous internet podcasters like you guys, but you could say I'm an international personality, keeping the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Naray Mooncat.
That's neat.
Cool. That's. I would think, though, that would be a very trucker thing. I mean, you're driving down the road and talking on the radios. Good mm-hmm. way to keep your ass awake.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Like some of those old songs.
As I was going down the road on the old 44, I heard a kid.
And she said, my mom's a whore.
She's out of whoring. And that old horn's a blowing. I just would like someone to take me on the road. So I tell you what I did. I went to that kid's house and abducted him. And now I'm wanted in 12 states. I'm getting poked with the doorknob.
Of the story song.
But that, that story sounds a little bit like what happened to Senior Chief and I.
Tell your story. How I infected him.
Well,
do you wear your tail while doing your
duties? I actually did.
Your wag a tail back and forth, you wag a tail back and forth.
Hide your fox, hide your wolf, hide your fox, hide your wolf. No, I was talking to a group of the guys, and one of them was like, well, what are you doing this weekend? And I slipped my mind where I was at the time. I said, yeah, I'm going to Furry Fiesta. He's like, Fiesta? That's not till blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no. At the time, Chief, it's this. And I tried to avoid it, tried to not say too much. And,
And then the spaghetti began streaming from your pocket.
Yes, it did. And then I eventually had to tell him, well, it's furry. He said the CSI thing. I said, no, those are really crappy suits, and no. It's meant to entertain you, not actually be what it is. And then, of course...
That damn CSI episode still coming up.
Then I was on watch and listening to you guys, so I do blame you. Okay. But the episode, he's like, oh, that Shiva, she sounds really hot, and I was like...
Oh, God.
Dot, dot, dot. I think she has a boyfriend.
I have two.
She has two boyfriends, so I'm so sorry. There is no room for
sorry,
you.
Sorry, Chief.
But,
you have a third hole. There's room for him.
Okay.
Airtight!
But, after that, it's just been downhill. He's Red Watership Down, and that's where he gets his name, Chief Bigwig.
Oh, right, yes.
Well, awesome. Watership Down wasn't the nickname for Bigwig by the general of Chief. Or something. There was something where I thought they did refer to Bigwig as Chief. Kind of,
I think that's when they were trying to choose who was going to lead, like, the
Well, there's a segment where Bigwig kind of pretends to be the Chief Rabbit, or Woundwork thinks he's the Chief Rabbit, because the real Chief Rabbit is Hazel, and he's a lot smaller and not as tough guy as Bigwig is, but I read it like 9 times when I was a kid. Sorry.
I still think it's like that big. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't find my original paperback, but oh my god, that thing was so dog-eared. It eventually like fell in half at one point where the binding gave way, because I was a child and I read it a lot.
Oh god, that song from the it is an anime, Bright Eyes, that still Bright gets Eyes. In my head.
Aww. Yeah, I have that soundtrack on vinyl. Sorry, we just like
no, that's fine.
Gray muzzle fact.
He just he's gray muzzle. That senior chief, that was totally Fuzz calling you a gray muzzle, not me.
No,
I was calling myself a gray muzzle.
No, but yeah, he loves the show. He's been listening. He's going come hell or high water for EPS.
Is he the one that are going to help you play medic that weekend?
Yes, he was, but we got new booters to core school. And he was like, I've got to make sure they get their rooms, and I have to make sure that they have a sponsor to walk around with them. So I'll stay. You go. Just in this horrible, this foul mood.
You'd be happy to have him and make sure he has a good time.
I just wouldn't want to be the new recruit that weekend. Yeah, I could have been at Furry Fiesta, but instead I'm here treating you losers.
Whose turn is it to read?
Mine.
Okay.
So, are you done with your story there, Fujimaru?
Yes, unless you want to hear a horrible medical story.
Oh, no, let's not do the horrible medical.
No, we don't tell stories about sounding on this podcast.
sounding catheters, I mean, it's a little give and take here.
All right, so.
Read it, Evel
Sacra. Hey, guys, on topic with optional off-topic Wall-O clarification. Hey there, Notcasters.
Head are you the fucking Joker?
No, you didn't mention that recent drama about fursuiters screwing on a car. Actually just got my real-life reaction to hearing about it. And now I'm going to make this fursuit disappear. Wait, no. I started writing this as I listened as he used to go the new topic, and wow, that was an incredible lapse in judgment. I hope that alcohol was involved, but given how extreme it was, I hope seppuku was involved as well. They're going to commit Sudoku.
Who's he?
Wait. Commit Sudoku?
They're going to go commit Sudoku.
Is this about the New Jersey thing?
Yeah, New Jersey thing.
This is actually kind of... There's been more news on this. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, they said the guy wasn't even there.
Yeah, apparently the councilman that said this wasn't... See, here's the thing, is that... Now the story is that the councilman wasn't there, and this was a rumor he started... But the thing I don't get is, like, why would a city councilman randomly start a rumor? And they're supposed to be incriminating photographs, but they won't show the people that run the thing. So it's kind of like, the whole thing seems dubious to me. I'm just like, something probably happened. Some kind of inappropriate thing.
Yeah,
I can understand if they were, like, groping each other.
It was probably not full-on fucking. It probably got blown out of proportion. But somebody probably still did something stupid. But either way, the end result is the same. That they're still canceling the furbecue forever. So,
yeah, and those two are definitely, like, con banned for life.
It's like, still, like... they still don't know who it was. Because they haven't shown them the pictures or anything. Yeah, and if the... If there are no pictures or the story's really exaggerated, then there are no people
to ban. But I mean, you have the immediate furry witch hunt thing, you know, internal witch hunt, purge the unclean, purge the baby furs, purge the bronies, purge the people I don't like. And this person's not a Nazi fur. They're kind of acted like one. Oh.
We send them to the camp.
Oh, see, I was actually all about if these guys really did this, if two dudes in suit really fucked on a car hood.
Totally. If two dudes on a suit were fucking on a car hood, they deserve every ounce of scorn and brimstone that we can pour upon them for doing something so monumentally retarded. But the fact that it's this far out and we haven't had any solid proof, the witch hunt probably isn't nearly as justified as some people would like to think.
Kill the beast!
It was a lot of sound and fury that signified a grand nothing. I mean, yeah, the furbecue's over and done. And this councilman's probably a major D-bag scumbag who probably could end up in the Potomac with some cement shoes. It's New Jersey, after all. But, you know, I think at this point in the game, it's probably not true.
Or at least not to that extreme.
Yeah. So we don't know what went down. More news after the break.
Yeah.
No. Go on, Zavrin, and read the rest of the email.
Yeah, the Panther would add, it's plausible that he isn't sharing the photos because there aren't any that would stand up to proper examination. Low-res cell phone photos from anywhere could work on other councilmen, but suits are very recognizable. If the community might point out those people are on the other side of the country.
Yeah, and he wasn't there, so who knows where all the photos came from, if they even exist.
Yeah, so anyways, moving on from the train wreck situation, I've actually got stuff on both of your topics this week, sort of. As far as hiding my power level, I follow the idea of keeping it quiet. I've got a little bit of furry bait up in my cube at work and a couple of other little geeky decorations. During Halloween, my decorations ratchet up a notch as I bring out the black cat plushie, my replica lament configuration, the box from Hellraiser, and that sort of thing. In a casual getting-to-know-you conversation, I'll bring up what I'm into, but I won't geek out unless it's apparently welcome. In a professional situation, it's only coming up if somebody else brings it up first. Basically, as far as my geekiness is concerned, I require consent before I unleash the rabid fanboy hounds. And I will warn people that I can go on for some time before doing so. It's just common courtesy to let them know when they're jumping into the deep end. At a con, it's assumed that they're interested in what the con is about, but even so, I'll only go full geekdom if the other person seems receptive, if I can possibly help it. It's all part and parcel for not being that guy. Now, if only that guy's the con scene would learn to do the same. Yeah, it's like, just so you know, I do understand, though, that guy, you know, the guy that wants to tell you the 25-page backstory to his character. And in the third year of the Black Sun Monarch, I decapitated a woolly mammoth with my tongue.
25-page? Try 25-chapter.
Yeah. All right, well, anyways.
I met that guy.
As for BronyCon, sadly I couldn't go, though several choice jokes I could make related to various things flammable. However, in case anybody's interested, there is Midwestria, a Midwest Brony convention that they'll be attending in September and even hosting several panels at. Just thought I'd shamelessly promote Midwestria.org, since it's being promoted mostly for the benefit of others than myself. Midwestria.org, since it's being promoted mostly for the benefit of others than myself. That's a strange sentence.
Yeah, I think you might need to explain that one.
Yeah.
Not so much for
his benefit.
Yeah, it'd
be great if Midwest here would talk to the rest of the conventions, just saying. Finally, I wanted to clarify my comments from last week. The push isn't into Wall of Tech status. I'm sorry for that, but since I apparently wasn't clear, I wanted to be sure I said this soon. I didn't intend to suggest that the writer and his master should go playing CSI or anything like that. Ah, CSI keeps coming up. You're absolutely right in getting to know the two people involved better is the first step to take. Definitely do that first. I wasn't suggesting going straight out and starting to investigate with third parties right off the bat. Just getting some input from neutral third parties before you break out some come-to-Jesus soundtrack and try to get S to leave D. Get to know them, get your own feeling for it, and then, if necessary, start talking to other people. What he's referring to here is the ongoing dom-sub thing that one pair was like, this is unhealthy because the other pair, like the dom, was renting out the sub for, you know,
sex
and stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't just rent them out, man. Let's see. Heck, it could just be that D is a lot more into the whole master-slave thing than the much younger, presumably less experienced S is, and he doesn't realize that S is unhappy with things the way they are, because S doesn't realize he has the right to say he's unhappy with them. But given the potential for there to be entirely consensual levels of behavior going on that seem abusive to outside parties, I stand by my recommendation to meet some folks in the local scene and see if they've got any impressions of them before you start trying to get S out of the relationship. No, you don't want to go airing other people's dirty laundry, but saying that you've been talking with them and thinking about playing with them, which is stated at the letter, you should be able to get some idea of what the rest of the locals think about them. You know, little things like, oh yeah, he's a good guy, or you like your sub breathing, right? Can give you a certain amount of context. That sort of context can really help you with making a decision about what, if anything, to do. And in this sort of situation, having more information about what's actually going on from neutral parties can only make the ultimate decision better. This is especially important if you want to help out some folks without accidentally burning your bridges with nuclear acid fire. Hopefully that clarifies what I've been trying to say. Either way, I remain howlingly yours, the Wolfie Man. And he also provided the music for this week. So thanks.
Cool. Well, I thank you for clearing it up. I think that really made it a lot more succinct. Okay, next one. Power level ninja. Ahoy, not casters. Hoist a yardarm and turn to port. We want to catch as many of these water foxes as we can. First off, blame Shiva for getting me into fuzzy logic. I've been listening to, like, every episode in a row several days. I can almost hear a certain flaming purple drag queen in my dreams now. Have I suckled his purple glitter clock and swallowed a mouthful of crazy? Yes. Yes, you have. Also, I've heard mention of this certain Shiva with godlike cooking skills. Shall we see if this is the same one? I do cook. I think I'm pretty well known for it, so maybe? Let's see. Okay, so there's a times when you can do the flame on a nerding, D&D being a subject that brings almost any conversation into the darkest reaches of nerddom. But then there's a level of awkwardness involving religion and sexuality. I haven't figured out what my sexuality is for any measure, but I've mentioned to a select few of my friends that I find both sexes can be attractive, but coming out flamingly gay wouldn't surprise those that have seen the sheer amount of cock in my porn collection. The big one has always been religion. My parents were raised strict Catholic and brought me and my sister up rabid atheist. I was goofing around with some books of the Ooh Spooky set several years ago and noticed that a few things here and there actually worked. Since then, I have latched on to certain celestial bodies for energy. I will bitch slap anyone who mentions ponies right here, and acknowledge them daily, even if I don't have any time.
I hate myself.
Damn
right
it!
Now.
I was thinking how many people were thinking it.
Yeah,
3 out of 4 non-casters agree. Ponies.
I don't, but you know,
swag, swag, pony swag.
And acknowledge them daily, even if I don't have time to a proper ritual. I suppose I would be considered to belong to the Wiccan set, but nobody knows that. Even if I mention what group I belong to with a pair of friends, the nature of what and where I do things related to my faith is something I doubt I will ever be able to say. Let me know when the ship gets back in the harbor. I want a piece of that catch. Anonymous.
Okay.
I'm just wondering where I heard about my cooking skills from.
We have quite frequently in the past talked about the oceans of food you make for meetings and hangouts and stuff like that. Holy shit, Shiva made this fantastic sugar stuff that, oh my god, I'm getting diabetes right now, but oh my god, it's so good.
This fantastic sugar stuff. What did you call it? Splenda. Oh,
no.
Right. That shit was great.
Who was the person that made it? Was like chocolate and walnuts and almonds, and it was this crazy, ridiculous death to diabetics.
And people with nut allergies.
I think that was, wasn't it someone that you brought for? It was a guest. It wasn't any of the normal locals.
Okay, because I know that somebody made it, and it was at one of your Christmas parties.
Yeah, it was not the last one.
It was really good and terrible for everybody.
I'm just trying to remember who it was, because it was someone that they brought along as a guest. Because they were in town and brought him along to Cookie Geddon, so.
I don't know.
Yes, you can come along only because you can cook. Otherwise, I mean,
I wasn't
leave you at home.
Cookie Geddon.
So, did you have chocolate bark stuff?
I wasn't at Cookie Geddon.
I know. I was just trying to.
Oh, okay.
Which of my gatherings was this at? I think it was
a Cookie Geddon.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, okay.
You know, we won't say anything regarding ponies, but I just think it was funny that all three of us are like
ponies. Ponies.
Lord help me.
it was kind of funny. It was like there's an RP account that I follow on my Twitter. It's Celestia and Luna. And, you know, it was a full moon last night for the fireworks. And I tweeted, like, you know, and Luna graced us with a full moon tonight. It was really nice. Thanks. Account name. And she's like, I never did such a thing. Oh, that. Never mind.
Nice.
Now we shall slap the royal flank. No. Anyways,
this one says, "Please do not mention my email," so I won't.
So are we not supposed? Does he mean his email address?
I don't think he means his email address.
Please don't mention his email address. But that's confusing because his name is at the bottom and it's in there.
I think we might just pass on this one.
Okay, let's.
Okay,
I will pass on this
email. It actually sounds like something that, you know, you should just go ahead and reply to directly, Savern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, so I get satanic furry. Awesome.
Hey, it's a short one from the satanic furry.
Sweet. Good evening, Notcast. On topic email from the British Desert Dog. I myself am a big Doctor Who fan. I have lots of DVDs of the old series. But when it came to other people wanting to know, I just tell them I like Doctor Who. I don't wear DW shirts in public or in college, but if someone came up to me and asked if I liked it, I'd be frank with them. Regarding those who flaunt their hobbies out, I don't mind it with people who just treat it as a hobby, as it can be quite helpful as I know what you like and I can talk about it with you. But when it gets to lifestyle, that's when people need to tone it down a knot. Giggle, giggle. Thanks, your loyal as ever kinky British Jackal Hex. Many and keep up the good work.
Okay.
See, I'm like kind of like, I have a little ceramic TARDIS on my desk at work, but I'm like, I'm kind of on the down low even when it comes to like my non-furry interests and stuff. Like, I'm just not real open in general with stuff and things.
Well, like, I have the Japanese swear button on my desk that I use at work.
What's the Japanese swear button?
It just swears in Japanese for me. So I don't have to swear whenever my senior chief is around. He's like, look at me. Is that you swearing, MacGyver? No. Not me. Just, it's this button, chief. It just doesn't work. What is it saying? Stuff about panties and pizza, chief.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
Exactly. I just don't believe you've never heard of panty pizza. I just...
Well, from the podcast, 185, panties and pizza. Today we'll be talking about cross-dressing and stories of pizza delivery boys getting fucked. I don't think we can stretch that out to an hour and a half.
Such... Well, it's a bad episode. Well, a bad porn movie. Like, the delivery man would always get fucked, and now the pizza boy just...
Oh, you've brought my pizza. It's just a pair of panties on a platter. Should I read an email? Or
yeah.
It's
yeah,
10, well, it's 10:44. I'm like, do we need to do another round? Or
I think...
We can see. These are pretty quick ones, as far as I can tell.
Okay, so does hiding your power level?
That one's like the longest one left.
Okay.
Or we can just hang them on until next week. I mean,
yeah, I think
it's,
do that.
We're an hour 42 in. It's 10:44.
I think just save them.
All right, we're going to save these emails.
Okay.
And I'm going to mark them as unread because it's late.
Late o'clock.
I'm sure we'll get some more.
Approaching the howling hour.
Yeah.
Approaching more. We'll get more emails next week, I'm sure, on the same topic.
Yeah. And I don't have a topic idea for next week, so...
Crazy medical situations and how you get in them.
Yeah, so you can write us a whole bunch of
yes.
emails.
Yes.
Why would you do this?
Why would you stick that in your ass? What's wrong with you?
Well, one of the emails that we are saving for next week is about fisting.
Oh, yeah, please don't.
So have you ever had to do one of those things where you take an x-ray of someone that's stuck something in their ass or all the way up their nose or something like that?
Yes, we've sent them. We've had x-rays come down. Lego men, you don't want to know where.
That's not
even
how...
I was just like, wow, you're dedicated.
I was doing this trick where I build a Lego building with my anus.
Just...
Like, you just shove a bunch of miscellaneous Lego pieces up there, and then you poop out a little gas station or something.
But see, there was the one female with the controller in her vagina. That was scary.
Controller?
Because...
Wii?
No, she liked the vibration of... It was PlayStation controller. She was like, I like the vibration. I was like, that's what they make vibrators for. Now we have to go get it. Get
it. Like, this is why you don't play Rez with a trans vibrator.
That's not how you're supposed to do it.
I think the weird, like I said, the weirdest one was vibrator stomach guy. That just
might as well tell that one.
All right, so we get this guy and his girlfriend. They come into the ER, and mm-hmm. I'm the only one on shift right then because all the nurses were actually doing important things. And so he comes up, and I'm like, "Well, what's wrong with him? He seems fine. I mean, is he?" He's like, "Come here, feel his stomach. It's vibrating." I don't even need to know what happened. So we gave him a lax to try to help him pass this thing, but it's why people do the things they do.
I just
what was it? One of the little eggs or something just got up too far?
Mm-hmm. And he didn't attach a string or anything. I've seen one with the string and the guy was just like, "It just hurts, I don't want to pull it out." One, two, take a deep breath. One, two, three.
Pop. Mm-hmm.
Which honestly, it's not that bad. As long as it's not in too far.
Yeah.
We can work with that. But that's just...
How did you get that out eventually?
Laxy passed it. there's nothing else I could really do. Like, it wasn't quite there where I could give him, like, just something to make him throw it up, because even then, that's really not something we do. We try to be as non-invasive as possible, but
yeah,
this close.
How far does it have to be up before you can puke it up?
I wanted it farther up into the stomach. Like, it was still, like, right about here, which is still
navel-ish.
Yeah, we want it right in the middle. Just pull that out. Oh, and kidney stone guy?
Don't tell a kidney stone story, because I will pass out.
I was about to say, she sure fuzzed, because this is a good one.
No, I start
seeing
stars.
There is nothing good about kidney stones.
No, this is how the chief taught us to test for them.
Oh?
Yeah. We had this guy, and it was a holiday, right? And he said, mm-hmm. "Oh my god, my back is killing me. Oh my god, this is the most unpleasant thing in the world." I gave him a full exam, a head-to-toe, I gave him range of motion exams, so I don't know, you finally got me, I'm stumped. I said, "What's wrong?" He says he's had real bad back pain, it's going on for a few days. It's like, "Stand up, kid, turn around." And he punched, like, doesn't punch him hard, but punches the kid right about there.
Right around the kidney.
Yeah, he falls to the sword, crying, screaming, and swearing. He's like, "Oh, kidney stones."
Jeez. Oh. Are you working for Dr. House? Fuck.
He's like, "Well, that's how you test for it. If you
just give it a good solid thump."
And just
I can see House just over. Whacking somebody with his cane.
Just, it was over at that.
Oh, yeah, on that note.
So, kids, if you think your friend has kidney stones,
punch them in the back.
Punch them, and if they fall over screaming,
yeah, know what you got.
Then bring them to the hospital. On that note, good night, and ow by urethra.